Well, good morning. Well, we've come to, a bookend moment. This is the end of a series of six that we've been looking at around our vision and values. And today we're going to be looking at the value of mission. But before we do that, I just want to very quickly remind us of where we've been so that we're all on the same page, as it were. We looked at, started with a sense of vision and direction, encompassing our vision statement that is hung on the wall and you see in your notices, etc., etc. And then we moved into five key areas of value that we place upon the life of the church. The first one was worship. And we looked at the subject of worship and worship being a lifestyle and should be all that we are involved in every part of our life. We then looked at fellowship, and if you remember, Rod preached on that subject and looked at how we relate to one another as the believers and the body of Christ and how we should care for one another. We then looked at discipleship, looking at our study and our journey with the Lord, making sure that we are doing what God has called us to do in relation to that journey with Him and with one another. We then looked at the topic of servanthood, about how we're called to serve the church as Jesus came to serve, not to be served, but to serve. And that sense that we're called as part of the body of Christ to be an active member in whatever shape or form that comes in. And then our last one today is on the subject of mission. Each of these areas, I believe, are really important to the life of the church. Without them, or without one of them, we miss a potential important area. And so having those five key areas are really, cornerstones in which we can build and see God move in relation to His church being released. So our text this morning from Matthew 28, what a famous reading. That sense that God, Jesus gives this great commission to His disciples. What does it say in verse 19? It says this, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." See, our ministry is to the body of Christ, to the service of believers. I suppose, in other words, you could call that servanthood in the language that I've just used. But our mission is to the world, the service to unbelievers, as you were. There are five key references in Scripture found in relation to mission. And we're going to have a quick look at those together. So if you've got your Bibles, fingers ready. Our first reference is in Mark 16. And it's verse 15. And he said this, "He said to them, 'Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation.'" And then if you turn to Luke, and it's Luke 24 and verse 47, and it's Jesus says this. Let me start at the beginning, halfway through verse 46. "This is what is written, 'The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem.'" Then if you turn with me to John 20, verse 21. Again, these are the words of Jesus. John 20, verse 21. "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And then the last reference I want us to look at is Acts 1, verse 8. Beg your pardon. And he says these words, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. See, those verses of Scripture all point us to the same thing, that we are called to be on a journey with Jesus, to share and to be his, I suppose, ambassadors, for want of a better word. That sense that we are called to be representatives of Christ wherever we go. You see, it's important that we play our part as part of God's mission to the world. We have a role to play individually and collectively in that mission. You know, in my Bible it's called the Great Commission, but it's not called the Great Suggestion. It's not a suggestion that's been made by Jesus that there'll be a really good idea if you did this and go on mission. It's not called the Great Suggestion. Why? Because Jesus once came to build and launch his church, didn't he? He came to call the 12 disciples to follow him. And then it went to the 72, then to the 144 and beyond. And it's grown like Topsy ever since. Because Jesus said, I impart with you so that you might be my witnesses, so that we might see the church of God grow. That you and me are called to be part of that mission of God. That great commission that Jesus has commissioned us. You know, it's not an omission. It's a commission. It's co-working with God. Christ has called us to co-work with him. So wherever you be, whatever you're doing, whether that's out on the streets of Exeter, doing, not night shift, because that's Exmouth street pastors, thank you, or whether that's down in the larder giving out food, or whether that's talking to your neighbours, or whether that's where you're at work, or whether you're involved in Skittles, or bowls, or fishing club, or the knitting club, or whatever it might be, we're called to be co-workers with Christ, sharing God's love with the world. But there is a warning found in Scripture. And if you turn with me to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 3. God has given Ezekiel the task of being a watchman. And I just want to look at this just for a few moments, if we may. So it's Ezekiel chapter 3, starting at verse 16. At the end of 7 days, the word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the people of Israel. So hear the word I speak and give them warning for me. When I say to the wicked person, you will surely die, and you do not warn them or speak out to dissuade them from their evil ways in order to save life, that wicked person will die for their sin, and I will hold you accountable for their blood. But if you do warn the wicked person and they do not turn from their wickedness or from their evil ways, they will die for their sin, but you will have saved yourself. Again, when a righteous person turns from their righteousness and does evil, and I put a stumbling block before them, they will die. Since you did not warn them, they will die for their sin. The righteous things that a person did will not be remembered, and I will hold you accountable for their blood. But if you do warn the righteous person not to sin, and they do not sin, they will surely live because they took warning, and you will have saved yourself. It's quite a heavy passage, that, actually. You need to hold this reading in tension with the passage where Jesus talks about judging. There is a fine balance between the two. God is the one that judges. We're not called to judge. But we're called to encourage. We're called to share love with one another. So when a brother or a sister is out of step with the Spirit, when they've fallen into sin, our role is to encourage them back onto the path of love, of righteousness. Our role is to stand with one another when we face those struggles, when those tests of temptation come, so that we can offer a word of encouragement, not to condemn, but to encourage, so that that person might stop walking in old ways, shall we call it, and walk in the new ways of God. So there is a message here, an incumbent message, that we are all called to be part of the mission of God, to save those that are lost out there, to save them and enable them to see Jesus for who he is. We're called to be ambassadors for the King. Or as Paul puts it, we are co-laborers or co-workers with Christ. You see, people are lost without Jesus, aren't they? Even if they appear contented and appear successful, they are still lost without Jesus. The problem is that they don't always realize it. They think that my life's okay, Jack, thank you very much. I've got a good job, I've got a big house, I've got a new car, I've got all the trappings that the world can offer. But they do not know the love of God. They have not experienced that as I hope we have. That sense that God fills, that sense of deep longing within our hearts. You know, I was trying to look for a testimony, which I ran out of time trying to find. But there are a number of key large personalities within the media that have said publicly, without Jesus, my life was empty. And I had everything. I had money, I had all the trappings of the world, and yet there was still this emptiness within me that I could not fill. Tried everything. It was only when Jesus stepped in that that difference was made. And I hope that's true for you and for me, that when Jesus stepped into your life, there was that transformation that said, yes, Lord, thank you. Because you've given me a hope, you've given me a purpose, and you've given me a freedom that I've never known before, and a joy that just keeps bubbling up because of him. Despite circumstance and despite situation, we know that God is good all the time. That's right. Oh, let's try that again. We know that God is good all the time. Fantastic. Thank you. Oh, I like that. That was good. Well done. Okay. Paul wrote these words in Acts 20, verse 24. I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me. The task to testify to the good news of God's grace. Paul was called to testify, to stand up and say, God is good. He's done this in me. Even though I might be in chains and locked up, God is still God. He still loves me. He gives me the hope that I cannot see with my own eyes, and yet with my spiritual eyes, I know he is awesome. Despite circumstance, despite situation, Paul knew that even when he was locked up, he had to share with the jailer that his God was good and that he loved him. I don't know about you, but have you ever led somebody to the Lord? Yeah? I tell you what, you get an incredible buzz. It's really difficult to put into words, but there is a feeling of elation where you see one more person make that commitment to follow Jesus. Now, many of us are seed sowers, aren't we? We sow, thank you, Peter. We sow seeds, but we don't always see the fruit of that seed because we sow in faith. But we pray that the seeds that we sow will fall on good ground, not along the path or the amongst the thistles or the stones, but on good soil. Knowing that we have played a part in those that the paths that we've crossed, and that we have been instrumental in helping them take their next step to knowing Jesus. You see, one of our challenges, and I referred to this when I was sharing the vision, is that we have lots and lots of contacts at this church with people in this community through the various activities that we're involved in. But the challenge to us as being seed sowers and co-workers with Christ is, how do we take that next step to lead them to that next part of the journey that brings them a step closer to knowing Jesus as their Lord and Savior? How do we do that? How do we do that? What part of the conversation do I jump in and say, Jesus made this difference in my life? Do you know this? We were talking to Dennis the other day, or John was talking to Dennis the other day at the guys' table. And if I've shared this story before, I apologize. Dennis is one of the old guys that sit on our last of the summer wine table on a Thursday. Aptly named, isn't it, Eddie? And anyway, Dennis was chatting with John, and Dennis was saying, you know, all I've seen is love shared with me. I've heard your stories, many of them, and I'm getting to the point where I am convinced there is more to this than meets the eye. That sense that the 3 years that we've, I think it's at least 3 years we've been walking with Dennis now since his wife died. We've been slowly sowing seeds, faithfully, week in, week out. Even when he's been poorly, John, you've been round and seen him, haven't you, when he hasn't been able to make a Thursday. There's been care and love shown for him. And he's been overwhelmed by the love of the fellowship and by the love of God. And he's on that journey to making that point of saying, yes, I'm going to follow Jesus. And we pray that he makes that journey before he's get called home. It is just that, continuing to be God's witnesses. But what does it mean to be a witness? Well, it's basically sharing our experiences of Jesus. I can't dress it up any other way. You know, Jesus saved me, didn't he? Did he save you? Yes. Isn't that something to talk about? You know, I believe God does not waste a jot of the experiences that enables us to go through. The least stroke of the pen is never wasted. So if you're going through a painful experience, I believe God will use that painful experience to be a blessing to others later on down the line. And I can speak from personal experience from that. God uses that to stand with others that are in that place to encourage them. Nothing is ever wasted. You know, there are sometimes some really hard life lessons that we learn, aren't there? Those challenges that come where we keep falling down the same hole time and time and time again. And yet, there will be a moment where we break that pattern and we step out of it. And it's at that point where we've learnt that life lesson that Jesus has been trying to teach us patiently, that we're then able to share that with others. Well, I used to be in that place where But because of Jesus, I'm now able to break free from that. We're called to share our experiences with others. It's a very natural thing to do, isn't it? You know, when we found out that my daughter was pregnant and the granddaughter was on the way, even though it was 3 months early and it was a bit touch and go, you know, we prayed that God would sustain, and you prayed as well, and God has. 2.5-year-old bonny little girl, and we praise God for her. But we're able to share that with others. You know, yes, my granddaughter was 3 months early. But praise God, she was so small, and yet through the wonders of prayer and medical science, she's able to be this bonny little girl. We're able to share that as a testimony that we believe God sustained and God answered our prayers. There are many, many stories amongst us that we can use that as an experience, our own experience, where we can say, well, we have known have known the power of God at work in our lives. See, nobody can argue with your testimony. Did you know that? Nobody can say anything against your testimony because it's what's happened to you. It's what's real and purposeful and made you the person that you are. Nobody can say anything against it. And if they do, what are they saying? Well, I don't believe you. Well, actually, it's real for me. This is what happened. This is my story. It was a song, isn't it? This is not. Anyway, we won't go there. Thank you, Peter. You know, it might seem mission impossible. It does. You know, there is a world out there with hurt and pain that are lost. And it seems to us that it's too big a task. But let me tell you, God is at work. God is at work in our community. We've just got to open our eyes and see. It is not the omission of God, but the great commission of God, that he has called you and me to work with him, to share the experiences of God with others. Because when we do, people sit up and listen. I'm going to look at Eileen now and say, Eileen, when you're at that golf club sharing what Jesus has done for you, it is making a difference. Chris, when you're on the building site and you're sharing when you get the opportunity to share what Jesus has done for you, it makes a difference. Dave, when you were down at the cricket club, driving and doing the bits that you were doing, groundsman, when you shared your story about Jesus, it made a difference. You see, it makes a difference today because Jesus is alive. He's not dead. He's risen from the grave, as we've shared. And because of the power of the resurrection of the glory of God that lives in me and you, we have an amazing story to tell, don't we? We have an amazing story. And Christmas provides such a wonderful platform to share the love of God. Now, have you seen these? Have you taken one? Or two? Or five? Or 10? Or many more? If you haven't, why not? They're not for you to pin on the board. You can if you want. But they're designed to give away. They're designed to tell people about what's happening next Sunday. What is happening next Sunday? Joy, what's happening next Sunday?
Christmas Eve.
It's not Christmas Eve next Sunday. Not quite. You're a bit ahead of the game. Next Sunday morning, we've got a morning service. But what's happening in the evening at 6:30 next Sunday? Carols by candlelight. Do you like our net on the wall? I tell you, when the lights go out, it looks incredible. So I'm quite looking forward to our carols by candlelight. It'll look very special. So please take these invitations. I don't want them sitting on the side. We've printed some more this morning, specially. Please take them and use them to invite your friends and neighbours. Even if you're not going to be here for Christmas, give them one anyway. Put it in the Christmas card. Give it to them and say, please come. We'd love to see you. It's an easy call, isn't it? That's being part of the mission of God, that we're offering an open invitation that people might experience the love of God in a very real and tangible way. Now, who said they were going to fall asleep this morning? Have you fallen asleep this morning? No. Praise God. We've got an amazing message to share. It's about the love of Jesus. And what a transformation he makes in our lives. If only we can get that message out there. And the only way Jesus is going to do that in this community is through you and me. It is. The bottom line is, it's through you and me. We have to be God's mouthpiece. We have to share God's love. You cannot be a hermit. The Great Commission doesn't say anything about being a hermit, does it? Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Let's start in Brixington, shall we? Maybe spread out a little bit to Exmouth. But let's make disciples. Let's draw people. You know, in many ways, it's quite hard leading somebody to Christ, but it's even harder leading to be a disciple of Jesus. It's not an easy call. But that's the commission that God has given to each one of us, to play our part in, however big or small that might be. But that is the challenge that Jesus has set you and me. Are you up for it, church? Because that's the mission of God, to see the kingdom of God built. I want to be a kingdom builder. I want to be committed to seeing people come to faith, wherever that might be. And that we see the kingdom of God grow. And yes, I'd love to see the kingdom of God grow here in Brixington. But we've got to play our part. We have a story to tell, and it's an amazing story. It's a fabulous story. It's a great story. It's a marvelous story. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. Because Jesus has done it for you and me. And he wants to do it for those that are lost out there. Let's play our part in that. Let's take the opportunity this Christmas to invite our friends and neighbours, those that we know, to come and share Christmas with us. You know, I really love the logo on this. Come and sing the Christmas story. Well, we're going to sing more carols this year than we've done for a few years. So be warned, all right? Be warned. We start next week with a vengeance. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you that you have chosen to use us. We thank you that you, Lord, have made an impact on our lives. And we pray that you might help us daily to share that impact with others. Lord, we might not be skilled evangelists, but Father, we have a story to tell because you've made it possible for us to know you. And what an amazing story that is. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would give us a confidence and a boldness to share that story this Christmas season with others. Lord, that it won't be the best kept secret in Exmouth, but it'll be the most shouted story this season in Exmouth. Lord, let your light shine. Let the light of Christ that is within us shine, that we might make a difference for Jesus this season. We simply ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.